We're unabashedly obsessed. We've got to get it off our chest. Please sit there and be quiet.
Hey everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to Unabashedly Obsessed. I'm James.
I'm Erin.
On our show, we like to talk about things related to pop culture.
And not so pop culture. Although this is kind of...
This is both.
I mean, it's old, but it's...
This feels a little meme culture. Like, it feels like... Well, we'll get into it.
You guys remember a couple weeks ago when we went to see the Puffs?
Yeah.
And it made us think, hey, Harry Potter's awesome.
Uh-huh. And fan fiction brought to life is a good thing.
Uh-huh. So I will take full credit for making you do this. I got it into my head that we should cover the 2006 fan fiction My Immortal. Thank you to Christina for alerting us to this thing's existence.
I didn't hate this.
I hated it, but I enjoyed the experience of it, mostly.
Okay, so basically, this was posted on... See, we're going to get into background, but
yeah.
Before I have it coloring my perception and hypothesis of what's going on, I want to put it out there, but like, I don't, you know, but if people aren't going to know what I'm talking about, then maybe, I don't know.
I mean, the briefest of synopses, it was in 2006, this fan fiction author, Tara Gillespie, published a Harry Potter fan fiction called My Immortal, which is generally lauded as being the worst fan fiction ever written. Uh-huh. It was originally published on fanfiction.net.
Right.
That's really all you need to know before James gives his hypothesis.
Here's my contention.
Mm-hmm.
My contention is that this is... so poorly written,
uh-huh,
that it's impossible that it was poorly written just due to a lack of skill on the author's part.
I agree.
There's no way that the malapropisms, I guess, like the typos that were autocorrected or word usage was wrong, were so perfectly inappropriate,
mm-hmm,
that they had to have been intentional.
Right.
Which means that I think this is a work of satire.
I think it's gotta be, right?
The other thing that was really interesting to me, besides the typo, you know, quote unquote typos, was the author's notes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a story going on in the author's notes.
Okay.
And I think that this is a weird, like, if so, this is a weird stylized, like, I'm looking at you, but the story is happening over here in the peripheral.
Right.
Sort of thing. Because she thanks Raven every author's note, except for that one time or two times when they were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they... You know, like, it's not an interesting story happening in the periphery, but I think that there's... The thing that was interesting me was those author notes.
Right.
And then the rest of the fan fiction was whatever.
Right.
Stupid and juvenile and whatever. I don't know. Like, it didn't strike me... Like, and bad writing is better than this.
Yeah, this was so bad. Like, I agree completely. I find it very hard to believe that this was not intentionally done.
Words, names would be misspelled. Enaby and Ebony and Egagi and...
Yeah, like, none, even the character... Like, half the time she refers to the... Well, not half the time. It was probably 5 or 6 times she referred to her main character by her own name.
Right.
Like, referred to her as Tara.
Right. Which means that this is... If this is satire, what it's being a satire of... is like scene. Like scene culture or like goth, mall goth culture and stuff. From an outsider's, like, I can't. My question where I end up is, what is this satirizing? Because it feels like it's satirizing something in the mall goth, Hot Topic, exclusionary, like being exclusive. I'm so outside society and you're all elitists and preppies, but right. you can't hang out with me because you suck.
Right.
Like that sort of culture, but written from the, from like, as if it was written by someone who was smart enough to do satire, but maybe not smart enough to do satire well.
Yeah.
But is that like, I feel like every time I think I have a handle on it, I feel like there's another level that I uncover. Because, mm-hmm. like, is it satirizing someone who's satirizing... Is it written by someone who's satirizing someone who's making fun of goths?
Right.
Like, how far up does it go? Like, I looked up... So, My Chemical Romance and Good Charlotte and Linkin Park and Evanescence and, to a much lesser extent, the band Him.
Marilyn Manson.
And...
There's one other one.
There's a band called Cute Is What We Aim For, which was mentioned one time. And, yeah. and she was like, have you ever heard of them? They're so good. It's weird that she mentioned they are not in any way. I mean, Good Charlotte isn't either, but at least Benji wore eyeliner.
Right.
Cute Is What We Aim For was, for me, too poppy pop punk. Like it was too poppy for me to enjoy because I couldn't get like it wasn't. It didn't have enough grit to it for me right. to get into. So,
right.
yeah. So she keeps referring to going to MCR concerts. And there are some chapter titles that are titles of My Chemical Romance songs. And like, it was all very 2006 sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So I'm very interested to know, like, the thing I asked you, I think, within the first two chapters was, how old is this author?
Yeah.
Because... it makes a gigantic difference whether or not, like, I feel like age and levels of satire are directly proportional. Like,
yep.
if this is written by a 15-year-old girl, then yikes.
Right.
Because I feel bad making fun of it, because this could just be...
her writing a fan fiction?
Right. But it can't be. It cannot seriously be. It can't be. It can't be. Because... is she supposed to be English?
I don't know.
Because she didn't use... there were no extra U's.
That's true.
But she was saying things like Gothic. G-O-F-F-I-C-K.
I would like to read the first paragraph of this.
Okay.
I do... before we get too in-depth, I do want to let everybody know, you know, trigger warning, content warning here. There's a lot of discussion within this fan fiction of... suicide, self-harm. It's done in a way that it's not taking itself seriously.
The phrase slitting my wrist is used in the same way as like taking a shower
right.
or making a sandwich.
Right. So if that's real triggery for you, you may want to skip this episode.
I don't know how much we're going to be discussing it personally. I certainly think that you shouldn't
read
this.
The thing. Right.
I want to touch on it a little bit.
Right.
Just as part of the whole quote unquote satire question mark.
Right.
Thing, but it is going to come up.
Yeah. It's worth us mentioning it now so that if that is a thing that you really have absolutely no interest in listening to, however, it's not going to be a huge focus of our discussion.
No. Yep.
Okay. So, chapter one, author note, special fangs, get it, because I'm gothic, to my new GF, ew, not in that way, Raven, bloody tears, 666, for helping me with de story and spelling. You rock. Justin, you're de love of my depersing life, you rock too, MCR rocks.
I forgot that she mentioned Justin so early. That's interesting.
And then just a whole bunch of X's.
Right, yeah. Of course. No 666 at this point, though.
No, not right. at this point. Just a bunch of X's. Hi. Okay, I'm going to try to read this with the punctuation exactly as it is. Hi, my name is Ebony Darkness, Dementia Ravenway, and I have long ebony black hair. That's how I got my name, with purple streaks and red tips that reaches my mid-back and icy blue eyes like limpid tears. And a lot of people tell me I look like Amy Lee, parentheses, author note. If you don't know who she is, get to hell out of here, exclamation point, close parentheses, period.
Podcaster's note, Amy Lee is the lead singer of Evanescence.
Right. I'm not related to Gerard Way, but I wish I was because he's a major fucking hottie. I'm a vampire, but my teeth are straight and white. I have pale white skin. I'm also a witch, and I go to a magic school called Hogwarts in England, where I'm in the 7th year. I'm 17. I'm a goth, in case you couldn't tell, and I wear mostly black. I love Hot Topic, and I buy all my clothes from there. For example, today I was wearing a black corset with matching lace around it and a black leather miniskirt, pink fishnets, and black combat boots. I was wearing black lipstick, white foundation, black eyeliner, and red eyeshadow. I was walking outside Hogwarts. It was snowing and raining, so there was no sun, which I was very happy about. A lot of preps stared at me. I put up my middle finger at them.
Podcaster's note, Gerard Way is the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Right. I don't know why you would want to be related to somebody you thought was super hot, but, you know, I'm not going to...
If you don't, you're a prep.
Yeah, this, if you are interested in reading this, just Google My Immortal Harry Potter fan fiction and you'll find it.
The Kindle app now mm-hmm. has this thing where you can just send stuff to Kindle.
Oh.
And it just, I read it on my Kindle, oh. on my phone. Yeah, it was great.
Cool. So that's the type of, okay, this thing starts out with the best writing that you're going to get out of it. Well, chapters 39 and 40 notwithstanding, what I just read is basically as good as it gets.
Right. The movie.
Right.
that goof makes no sense.
It does. Let's not keep make going. Sense. So, yeah. So that's about as good as it's going to get. Like, as this thing goes on, it gets so... And I can get into this more in my notes, but it gets so nonsensical that there were points where I was like, I don't even know what words she thinks she's typing here.
You remember how James Joyce hates Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever given Finnegan's Wake... Have you ever cracked open a copy of Finnegan's Wake?
No.
Good. It's this, but for turn of the 20th century Ireland.
Oh.
I'm almost positive. Like, if this... Wasn't like
you think he was trolling?
James Joyce was almost always trolling.
Oh, really?
Is my feeling.
Okay.
Then my English major friends out there can yes or no me, but I feel like sometimes James Joyce cut down on the trolling, but sometimes, like with Finnegan's Wake, he's doing a look at my stream of consciousness language stuff.
Oh, I can't.
And not in like a clockwork, because Clockwork Orange, so this reminded me of Finnegan's Wake and Clockwork Orange.
Okay.
And that's the pull quote for the episode. Yikes.
Wow.
Don't. Clockwork Orange, dude made up a new jargon.
Yeah.
For his people to talk.
Okay.
And so you had to glean what stuff was based on context clues.
Okay.
In a very, because the guy that wrote, Anthony Burgess, is like a linguistics guy.
Okay.
Which is interesting that he wrote A Clockwork Orange, which no one ever remembers for the linguistics, and they mostly remember it for the rape.
Right.
It's mostly about coming up with this new teen slang.
Okay.
Is mostly what The Clockwork Orange is about. Finnegan's Wake, I think, is largely about that too, about like, see if you can follow me on this. I'm going to go ham on the, I'm just going to go and see if you can catch up.
Right.
And it points in various parts of this with like transposing of letters and like no punctuation to speak of and like talking to the audience in the middle of the thing.
Yeah.
Like it felt like a modern day that where, except for, I don't think that Finnegan's Wake, I've never tried to read it because I don't need that headache, but I think that basically you kind of have to magic eye it and okay. like just sort of like unfocus your eyes and you get sort of the idea of what's going on. I don't think Finnegan's Wake had as many like forgetting what the plot was.
Are you accusing Tara Gillespie of not knowing her own story?
No, I think
you're a prep and a poser. Get the hell out of here.
I am. I am a prep and a poser.
Stop flaming, James.
Stop flaming my stry.
My stry, God.
I think that I wonder if like 39 and 40 felt like, because this is where we read this from is not the original source and is copy-pasted.
Right. Fanfiction.net deleted. I don't know if... I think the website... I don't think that the author deleted her account. I think that fanfiction.net either deleted her account or at the very least deleted the original source material. So the fact that it exists still is just amazing to me.
I think that there is some copy-paste stuff going on in that section.
In the
hacker section?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense in the overall meta plot of this was hacked for them to have said, this is what I have, chapter 40, this is what I have, and it's the same thing.
Right.
Which is interesting because it kind of shows you the cracks in the structure of this thing, which I, again, and I think I'm ready for background. My theory is that this is a work of very avant-garde, dense stream of consciousness satire.
Yeah. So if anybody listening has read this, like read it back when it was originally posted and can fill in some of the blanks for us, like were the, so chapters 39 and 40 were apparently somebody hacked into her account and wrote those chapters, but they're the same. Like
39 is 30, like,
yeah, 39 is the hacker saying, hey, I hacked into her account, some commentary on her and the story. And then, oh, by the way, I found this draft in a folder, so I'm just going to publish it.
Yeah.
And then chapter 40 is, oh, by the way, I found this draft in a folder, so I'm just going to publish it. Right. And then post the exact same thing that she posted in chapter 39. So if anybody read this back in the day and can confirm if that's how it originally was done, I realize that it was like 12 years ago, so you may not remember.
Yeah.
But I'm... like, yeah. I know Christina's the one who told me about this initially, so maybe she remembers it from when this was all going on. I know that Liz, hi Liz.
Hi Liz.
Liz in Austria, not Liz AF.
Right.
Liz AF might be aware of this too, but Liz in Austria, I know, is very active in the fanfiction community and has been for a long time, so she may remember this.
Yeah. So like, I think by the end... I was reading it and I was like, of course you misspelled that. Right. Of course characters from other stories show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Oh, part of what made me decide that we should do this is that I found out that there was a time travel element.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I got an LLOL during the time travel.
Oh, yeah?
Where Satan,
uh-huh,
a.k.a. Voldemort,
right,
a.k.a. Tom Riddle, says... that's not called that. It'll be called that in 2000 or whatever.
Yes, that was like, one of my questions. I'm like, is Voldemort also a time traveler? Did he time travel back to when she was time traveling back to so that he knows all the stuff about the future that she also knows because she's from the future? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I think the author, quote, it is too perfectly dense, too perfectly blockheadedly written to be actually blockheadedly written, because like it's somehow the broken clock is never right.
Right.
Somehow in this, the broken clock is never right even once a day. And that means that it has to be on purpose.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna give you some. Okay, so I have the Wikipedia page of My Immortal printed out. I printed stuff and highlighted it, guys. I'm very excited about doing my research. Okay. In September 2017, someone claiming to be the author updated a Fiction Press account stating that she had created an active Tumblr account under her real name. An effort to locate this Tumblr account resulted in the account of young adult novelist Rose Christo.
Okay. Do you know her?
No.
Okay.
No. I actually looked her up while I was doing all of this, and I've never heard of her or read any of her books. She has since stated that she was one of two co-authors of My Immortal.
Yeah.
And had provided evidence of her authorship to Macmillan Publishers, but controversy that same month over factual errors in her then forthcoming memoirs has led to doubt as to her authorship.
Okay.
Okay. So.
I love this. That Wikipedia thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting a little bit of chills.
Really?
Like, I love, it's because, like, I was reading it and I was like, oh boy, we're going to talk about this. And then I was reading it some more and I was like, there's something here. And you reading that just now, I'm like, all right, let's get into it.
Well, buckle up.
I am buckled in.
Okay. The work has also been noted to fail to adhere to Harry Potter canon.
I mean, come on.
So she
and
renames.
Also, they don't use Oxford commas very well. Like, let's all calm down a little
bit. Well, I think it's important to note that the author renames a lot of the characters to give them satanic names.
Goth names.
Transfers them all into Slytherin.
Yeah.
So all of the canonical Harry Potter characters are there. They're just all Slytherins who are goth. And some of them are also vampires?
Someone got moved to Gryffindor. someone that she didn't like got moved to Gryffindor.
It wasn't Willow, was it?
Maybe.
Raven's character, Willow?
Yeah, this... Okay, and I don't mean... I'm not trying to, like, spruce this up, but this is putting me in the mind of stuff. So in Dante's Inferno...
Uh-huh.
Another, like, classic literary thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, actually, in Dante's Inferno, people are just who they are. Like, it's just he encounters, like, this random mayor from Italy. Like,
okay.
Whatever. But, like, it feels like there's... Or, like T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot would constantly, in his poetry, like, substitute, like, have symbolic people be avatars, like you said.
Yeah.
There's stuff there, too, where I was like, if you know that such and such represents such and such, then you can tell that this is what this is actually about and all this stuff. So, like...
Right.
She'll, like... Yeah.
So, yeah, so I don't... When they had their falling out, did Willow get transferred to Gryffindor and then come back to Slytherin?
Maybe.
Maybe that's what we're remembering. I don't remember.
And Willow is... No. Hermione doesn't exist in this.
Hermione is Bloody Mary Smith.
I thought Bloody
I'm sorry,
Mary...
B apostrophe Bloody Mary Smith.
Bloody, yeah.
Bloody Mary Smith.
I thought that was Raven's avatar. Am I mixing those up?
I don't know that you are. Yeah.
Okay. Let me just address the what we're talking about with the, like, she doesn't know that I am. One of the most frustrating things of this was that she would be referring to someone, like, it would be a scene of her and Draco. Like, I can think, there's specifically a scene uh-huh. where, for whatever reason, she has started a chapter from Draco's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then shifted back over to Ebony's perspective
uh-huh.
without warning.
Right.
And at the point you are in the book, you're like, fine, whatever.
You just accept that this is your life now.
But then there's a paragraph that says something like, Draco, Ebony, and I, something, something, something.
Yeah.
And you're like, who is that?
And there was nobody else in the scene.
Right.
Yeah. So in chapter 2, she says, my friend Willow, author note, Raven, this is you.
Oh, this is you. Okay.
And then in chapter 8, my friend Bloody Mary Smith smiled at me understatedly. Blah, blah, blah. Something about the way she looks. Hermione was kidnapped when she was born. Her real parents are vampires and one of them is a witch. Blah, blah, blah. It also turns out her real last name is Smith and not Granger. Since she converted to Satanism, she is in Slytherin now, not Gryffindor. So Bloody Mary Smith is Hermione.
Gotcha.
Willow is Raven.
Vampire is Harry.
Vampire is Harry.
Draco keeps his name Draco.
Uh-huh.
Except sometimes it's Darko and sometimes it's Draco with a K.
Right. I think a couple times it was Drago.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Draco.
Uh-huh.
Ron is in this, and his name is Diablo.
Diablo.
Diabolo.
Right.
Diabolo.
Right. Neville is in this, but it's Navel, and he is...
It's Navel, and at one point I think it's Neville, but like N-E-V-E-L.
Yeah. I forget. He gets a new name, too.
Yeah, I can't remember what, though.
Crabbe and Goyle are in it, briefly.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, there it has parallels with Puffs because it covers the entire series, like up until like Half-Blood Prince or whatever
right.
when it was coming out.
Well, and you know, the whole thing that put the idea of doing this in my head was when we saw Puffs and Megan had like the goth eyeliner and stuff,
yeah.
and I was like, I wonder if that was a reference to My Immortal. Even with Megan coming in and like. I'm not a puff, okay?
Yeah.
Like, just the really
yeah.
loud yelling for no apparent reason when there's nothing to warrant it and nobody else is yelling. Like,
yeah.
she presented her, and it may have been a choice on the actress's part.
Right.
But it really felt referential to this
right.
to me.
Right. I can see it.
Would you like to know some more about
yeah.
the Let's, speculation on the authorship?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. Due to its quote, systematically terrible quality,
yeah.
the work is often believed to be a satire or parody of fan fiction.
Yes.
At the same time, the exceedingly complicated details of the work, including a series of related online accounts outside of fanfiction.net, and the effort of writing a work of such length, led to a consensus among users of Encyclopedia Dramatica, a website notorious for online trolling and dedicated to cataloging, quote, internet culture, that it would be too difficult to fake and that Gillespie was writing sincerely.
Nope. Too difficult to fake doesn't make sense on the internet.
No. It really doesn't.
Now, maybe this is a pre-podcast world where they don't understand just how much time people have on the internet, but...
Right. Brad Kim, editor of Know Your Meme, supported the work as genuine, citing his experiences with writing workshops on LiveJournal and Zango, where he encountered similar works, as, quote, these were the kinds of things that would be formulated by a high school teenager in the early 2000s, unquote. So, okay, so let's talk about Rose Christo.
Okay.
That's, that whole section on speculation on authorship was really more about the genre.
Do we know that Rose Christo is her real name?
I'm getting there.
Okay, because I'm thinking immediately of the Count of Monte Cristo, which was a fake name.
Right. I'm getting there. Okay, so she's the author of some young adult novels.
Okay.
She began writing a memoir about her alleged experiences as a Native American child in the New York foster care system.
Oof. Okay.
Titled Under the Same Stars, : The Search for My Brother and the True Story of My Immortal. Okay, you still with me?
I do love a very long subtitle.
I know you do. It needs some parentheses, I feel like. Yeah. But. Okay, so this memoir details the period of time during which she allegedly co-wrote My Immortal.
Okay.
Macmillan Publishers allegedly hired a lawyer to verify Christo's claim over the course of 3 days. She claimed to have provided proof through the email address with which she created the fanfiction.net account and a flash drive containing the first 11 unedited chapters of My Immortal.
Which just breaks my brain just a tad.
Right. So.
Wait. Is she claiming that she wrote it as satire?
I'm getting there.
Okay. Sorry.
In March of 2017, Christo quietly stated on her Tumblr account that she co-wrote My Immortal. However, the post gained little notice. In early August of 2017, Christo posted an update to a previously unknown fiction press account seemingly related to Tara Gillespie that similarly received little attention.
She should do all caps.
She should. Later in August, an independently published book called Handbook for Mortals came to public attention after it was discovered that its sales were artificially inflated to push it to the top of the Young Adult New York Times bestseller list, from which it was subsequently removed.
Ooh.
Writing similarities between the novel and My Immortal led to speculation that Handbook for Mortals author Lonnie Sarum was the author of My Immortal. Christo again updated the Fiction Press account to say that she was not. She also posted on Fiction Press to state that her only social media account was on Tumblr, which operated under her real name. An editorial assistant at Macmillan Publishers also stated that Sarum was not the author of My Immortal and stated that Macmillan was to publish the author's memoir. So Macmillan was the publisher for Under the Same Stars, The Search for My Brother and the True Story of My Immortal by Rose Christo.
Right. Okay.
They have not come right, as far as I'm gathering from this, they had not come right out and said, Rose Christo is the author of My Immortal.
Right.
But they did say, Lonnie Sarum is not the author.
Right.
We are publishing a memoir by the author.
Right. I'm calling the shot right now that that Lonnie Sarum and Rose Christo are the same person.
That is not touched upon at all.
Okay.
They might be, but it's not touched upon at all.
Because both of those sound like super fake names.
Right. let me...
I'm sorry to Rose Christo and Lonnie Sarum if those are your real names.
By September 5th, Christo stated on her Tumblr account that she co-wrote My Immortal and that she had provided proof to her publisher, Macmillan Publishers, later reported by BuzzFeed. And on September 7th, BuzzFeed published her first official statement as the alleged author of My Immortal. She said of her decision to publicly identify herself as a co-author, quote, I would never have come forward about My Immortal if not for the fact that it coincided with the things that happened to me as a teen. Later that month, a forum post on Kiwi Farms by Christo's brother, the subject of her memoir, refuted several of Christo's claims in the upcoming memoir, including those of their ancestry and shared childhood history.
Oof.
The memoir was subsequently canceled by Macmillan after an investigation found factual errors in her narrative. Christo stated that these errors had been purposefully made in an attempt to protect her family's identity. Christo's brother has additionally said that he does not know if Christo wrote My Immortal and that she enjoyed ridiculing badly written fan fiction.
Okay.
Christo confirmed via Tumblr in October that her original name was Teresa Rose Christodopoulos.
Okay.
confirmed her brother's identity, conceded to many of his revelations about her, but also disagreed with a few of his claims and reiterated her claim that she was one of the authors of My Immortal. She closed her Tumblr account a few days later. Vox described Christo's authorship claim as one of the more likely claims she has made, though still in some doubt.
Huh.
I have that Vox article.
Okay.
The rest of this is basically plot summary, which, you know.
Which, good luck. What, yeah.
Whoever wrote that up, you're a better person than I am. Okay. Let's talk about Tara Gillespie for a bit before we dive back into Rose Christo.
I am so excited. Okay.
So Tara is supposedly from Dubai.
Oh, okay.
Another fact about Tara that raises giant question marks. However, when digging further, this is from the My Immortal wiki, this particular thing that I'm reading now.
Okay.
It was discovered that both she and her friend slash editor were from New Haven, Connecticut through their combined MySpace page.
Yeah. Hold on one second. I'm looking up. Now, I feel like a bad, you know, current events guy, but wasn't there... There was like a big massacre in Dubai.
Yeah, like Dubai wasn't the best ethnic place cleansing to be living at this time. Yeah.
Was this being written at a time when saying you were from Dubai would have had cachet?
I don't know. So I think the reason that it is suspected or that she is supposedly from Dubai is because she said something in one of her author notes about going on vacation and something about, you know, see you later, Dubya. D-U-B-Y-A. It's suspected that that's a misspelling of Dubai.
And not a reference to George W. Bush?
Right. Apparently, Dubya was also a factory or something in California.
Okay.
I have no idea. I would have assumed...
I assumed...
In 2006...
Yeah.
That I'm going on vacation to England or Transylvania or wherever she said she was going on vacation for that particular one.
Yeah.
See ya, Dubya would mean bye, U.S.
Right.
I am leaving the United States.
Right.
But I don't know.
Hmm.
There's YouTube videos from their channel uploaded in mid-2009.
Oh, okay.
I did not dive into those.
Okay.
She has a habit of writing. So, okay, this is a whole section about her writing style.
Yes.
She has a habit of writing as if she were sending text messages. It gets so bad that it gets increasingly harder for the reader to decipher her words as the story continues. Can confirm.
Agreed. Agreed. Although, interestingly, once you know words that she's using or jokes that she's making, like, for instance... when she says it was a cross between something, she says it was a pentagram.
Get it? Because she's gothic?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She does that pentagram thing again.
And again.
Yeah.
She does it like four times. Okay. What's most distinctive is Tara's fondness for ignoring canon. To put it simply, she takes some of the more primary characters from the Harry Potter series and turns them into almost always bisexual vampire goths who constantly wear black, worship Satan, are depressed, suicidal, and are transferred into Slytherin.
And the reasoning behind that is that she hasn't read the books, she's only seen the movies.
Right.
Until Raven, I think, catches her up on the books, at which point Cornelius Fudge and other people from like book five.
Umbridge and
Book 5 and 6 start showing up.
Yeah. Right. She loves to experiment with adverbs in particular, some of which include sexily, suicidally, and gothically. Although in Tara's defense, all of these words are in fact actual adverbs. She just doesn't use them right.
Right. Or sometimes she's making a joke, like because he's so sexy. Get it? Because he's so sexy.
Yeah.
She also used the word smexy, which I thought was really funny.
That one grossed me out. It reminded me of the word smegma.
Yep.
Which is like the grossest word, I think, maybe in the English language.
Hi, Douglas. Douglas introduced me to that word. Did he not introduce you to that word?
No.
No.
I don't even think I want to know the context in which Douglas taught you the word smegma.
Grossing out Americans.
Yeah.
Grossing out Lisa, probably.
Probably. One of the world's most frequently asked questions and greatest mysteries is Tara Gillespie trolling.
Right.
This would make the greatest sense for the explanation of My Immortal, because as many would say, it is just too bad to be true.
Exactly. Exactly right.
However, Many other things would have to be taken into account if Tara Gillespie was in fact just a young teenage fangirl who was given access to the internet. First, to support the troll theory, one must look at Tara's origins. She supposedly lives or lived in Dubai, and she loves Hot Topic. So unless she or her friends or family are fabulously wealthy, it would be nearly impossible for her to take weekly trips to the States or any other country that has a Hot Topic.
Right.
Additionally, the United Arab Emirates is a predominantly Muslim nation and is located in the Middle East, where such attitudes towards Satanism, witchcraft, etc. are not exactly invited.
People, there's way too much stock being placed in the Dubai thread.
Right. In addition, discrediting the theory that she actually lives in Dubai even further, she says in an author's note, quote, "Oh yeah, BTW, I'll be in vacation in Transylvania for the next 3 days, so do not expect updates." In another author's note, she describes how, quote, "Transylvania rocks Harad." She says that she got to see the castle where Dracula was filmed. However, Dracula, though set in Transylvania in England, was filmed only in England and California. Oh, in addition, she once referred to, quote, "OMFG, I'm leaving W pretty soon, can't wait." That was the quote about W. So it wasn't like a by W, it was I'm leaving W.
Yeah.
So I guess in that context, I can see how maybe somebody was like, does she mean Dubai? But
I feel like that's a huge leap.
I agree. Now, there are a lot of things that we don't know about this because we were not around the fanfiction community during this time.
True.
It's entirely possible that there were comments and message boards and things where she talked about living in Dubai.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm assuming that her supposed living in Dubai can't be based purely on this one comment.
Right.
Right? It can't be. Because it doesn't make any sense for that to be the only source. Okay.
Green Day is also a band that she mentioned.
Green Day is, yes. Furthermore, My Immortal itself, for lack of a better explanation, does too many things wrong to be written completely seriously. It reads like a list of things a troll writer would do.
Yeah.
Frequently misspell words in an almost organized manner, text chatting, random / unexplained sex scenes, etc. Can confirm that happens a lot in bad fanfiction.
Is... Okay, so that felt authentic to a poorly written fanfiction?
It felt authentic to a poorly written fanfiction, but overdone. Like, I mean, it you know, right here where it says, it reads like a list of things a troll writer would do. So these are some things. So the Mary Sue character, you know, Ebony is a Mary Sue, which in fanfiction land basically is like a glorified author insert.
Right. Okay.
If your main character is a Mary Sue, it's basically you putting yourself in the story, but like a perfect version of you.
Right.
Or quote unquote perfect. I would argue Ebony is far from.
Right.
But maybe Tara Gillespie really wants to be a super bitchy 17-year-old vampire.
Right. Which brings me back to, it's someone trolling about someone trolling.
Right.
It has to be, it's a list of things that you would do if you were trolling.
Right.
Because, so it's someone poorly trolling someone poorly trolling someone writing bad fanfiction.
On the other hand, to negate the troll theory, one must take into account the many things that are a part of My Immortal. Personality of Tara Gillespie, managing the many accounts. She has other accounts besides the one that's now deleted from fanfiction.net. All of her passwords, taking the time and dedication to write the 44 long chapter story itself. I don't think chapters 39 and 40 were written by a hacker. I think they were written by the author of this mocking herself.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the only thing that makes any sense.
Absolutely. The style was the same, only clean.
Yeah, to me, chapters 39 and 40 are the author outing herself as a troll.
Yeah. Well, it's adding another, it's throwing another wrench into the works.
Right.
It's now what if this character got hacked?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, all of the things that are like, well, if it was a troll, why would there be multiple accounts? And why would, because masterful commit to the bit.
Right.
That's what this is to me. This reads to me as, wouldn't it be funny? Like, honestly, this reads to me as you and me.
Uh-huh. Yes. If we were like, hey, James, You want to write a bad Harry Potter fan fiction?
Right. And then we just committed the hell out of the bit.
Yeah.
Which I would absolutely do.
Yeah.
If I was doing this, I would absolutely have multiple accounts. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Now, besides Tara Gillespie, the troll author would also have to remember the persona of Raven and all of her logins.
Right. Okay. Fine. But like...
Yeah, exactly.
You would.
Or, yeah. Or it was two people.
Yeah. You, I mean,
jointly doing like exactly what you just said. These two people were like, hey, you know, it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing. Raven's stories would have to coincide with Tara's stories because they had a falling out, which appeared to be over a sweater. Like, didn't Raven borrowed Tara's sweater and then didn't give it back? Is that right?
Am I misremembering, or I thought it was a poster.
Oh, really? Oh, no. There were a bunch of things about...
I may be conflating my two things that I'm reading, which is why I don't read two things at once. But I thought she stole. I thought she took Raven's Gerard Way poster because he's so sexy. Am I wrong?
Well, at the end of chapter 12, special fangs to Raven, my Gothic's blood sister. WTF? You're supposed to writ dis. Hey, Raven, do you know where my sweater is? Oh, and then beginning of chapter 13, author note, Raven, fangs for gelping me again. I'm sorry I talk your poster of Gerard, but dat guy is such a fucking sex bomb. Prep stop flame-migging.
Oh, every author's note, by the way, contains a request for preps and posers to stop flaming the stry.
Uh-huh.
If
you don't like it, then get out.
Yeah. Oh, and there's constant, take my quiz to see if you're Gothic.
Yeah. There are a couple references to that too.
And then like things about like, if you don't know what Nightmare Before Christmas is, then you're a prep, then get out. And
then a couple times she's like, if you don't know what this is, then message me and I'll tell you.
Right.
And I'm like, but why is that the one that people get to not know what it is?
Oh, well,
and
one of them,
nice to them,
it was like something like, it was like a sex scene or like a...
Yeah.
There was something that was like, if you don't know what this is, then message me and I'll tell you. I'm like, oh, God, why would you do that?
Yeah. Chapter 16, Raven, WTF, you bitch, you're supposed to do this or to do this. But I'm assuming that that's supposed to be two words.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at some point they did have a fight, but I guess... Willow isn't really a prep. Raven, please do this. I promise to give you back your poster.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, there are a lot of things where my brain just started filtering out half of this.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't make sense of it.
Well, and then there's a part with Susie where, like, in an author's note, she says Susie is such a... like, she thanks Susie in, like, one chapter, and then the next chapter... She says that Susie is said, you know, Susie, you're a fucking prep.
Yeah.
And in that chapter, she talks about how it looked like someone's username was bad in some way.
Yeah.
So like, it's complex for sure. It's detailed for absolutely sure. None of that makes me think that it's not.
Yeah, and this
fabricated
article does say. If Tara was a troll, she could easily be a very determined and persistent one.
And I don't know that, like...
Or it could have been a well-organized group of people who decided to put this together.
Yeah. It reads to me and maybe this is, you know, 12 years hence.
Right.
It feels like I was getting super nostalgic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the My Chemical Romance references alone... were putting me in the mood to listen to My Chemical Romance, and like, it feels like an art project almost. It feels like a performance piece.
Yes.
It doesn't feel to me like trolling isn't even the right word. It doesn't feel like they're like, ha, this ought to piss off people. Now, we don't know what the comment section was like.
True.
And if it was super pissing off people.
I mean. It does seem like there were a lot of people flaming in the comments at her.
Right.
But, I mean, she frequently says that she's not going to update again until she gets 10 good reviews.
Right.
or like she threatens to hurt herself if she doesn't get reviews.
Right.
Good reviews.
Let's talk about that for a hot second.
Sure.
So like we said before, the idea of slitting wrists is frequently gone to.
Mm-hmm.
People do it when they're upset, people do it when they're bored, people do it just randomly.
Yeah.
And because they're vampires, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And like it almost seems like this actually, I'm glad we have the trigger warning, because it almost seems like it's like having a Capri Sun on you.
Yeah.
Like that she slit her wrists open to get a drink.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is how vampires work, but also at this point it was like whatever.
Well, and also for the most part, it almost, I don't remember that. Did she do that at any point?
Yeah.
Like cut her own wrist to drink her own blood?
I think so. Okay. I'm not positive about that.
Most of the time it was more like, I was really sad, so I slit my wrist, and while I waited for it to close up, I listened to some music.
Right. Also, the word moshed is used. I don't think that you know what moshed means, but...
Yeah, she's like, I moshed in my room for a little bit. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you need more than just you.
I mean, I guess not. You could just sort of like... slam dance around.
Wouldn't that just be called dancing?
Yeah. The parts that really interested me and really, like, the slitting wrists is used the same in some of the author's notes.
Yes.
It has the same lack of gravitas to it. Yeah. As it does in the story itself, which is what makes me think that it is part of the character.
Yeah.
Of the author.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
No.
Like, there's no part of it that I think glorifies suicide. It's almost like there's a point being made about the offhandedness of suicide references.
Yeah, it's not glorifying anything because it is so offhand.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's... If
like,
there's
at one
like,
point, she does say in one of her author's notes, sorry for not updating in a while.
I was in the hospital.
I was in the hospital because I tried to slit my wrists.
Yeah.
Because you guys were so mean in the comments
yeah.
or something. But even that felt made up.
Yeah.
But not in like a... It doesn't even feel like she's honestly seeking attention by lying about having hurt herself.
No.
It feels like she just, I mean, she says it the way, same way she'd be like, oh, sorry, I haven't updated in a while. I've been really busy with exams.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't updated in a while. I was in the hospital because I tried to kill myself. Anyway.
Right.
Ebony and Draco went to Hogsmeade to see yet another My Chemical Romance concert.
Or the same one.
Or the same one. Yeah, you were right. They definitely saw that same concert at least twice, if not three times.
Like, it felt like. And I guess I was trolling. It felt like something I would have written in high school.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like the kind of thing where I was like, let's play with, I mean, The Mob.
Yeah.
Is this same sort of thing where it's like, let me play with the, or the one that Clint and I wrote about, about Twister.
Uh-huh.
Where it was like a mood thing, but yeah. It was making fun of the mood thing by uh-huh. doing the mood thing.
Yeah.
That.
Well, and so I think when these articles refer to her as a troll or as trolling, I feel like the term internet troll has shifted some since 2006.
Yeah.
Now it seems to mean more like a person who is being deliberately mean and ignorant
right.
for the sake of getting a rise out of people.
Right.
I don't think that she's being mean or ignorant. I think that she's...
trying to get a rise out of people.
She's definitely trying to get a rise out of people, but I think that she's doing it like tongue-in-cheek and mocking, and she's getting a rise out of people who don't realize that she's poking fun.
Because like, okay, so she's posting this on fanfiction.net.
Right.
Are the people that she's trying to get a rise out of people that take fanfiction seriously and are like, this is bad quality fanfiction? Or is she trying to get a rise out of people that write like that on fanfiction.net or
it's
both?
It's got to be the first one, because I think that people who honestly write this way
yeah.
probably won't recognize
right.
the mocking.
I can't imagine that people were getting after her in the comments about Dumbledore doesn't curse.
I mean, it sounds like they were. I don't know why she would put in a note about Dumbledore was cursing because he had a headache, okay?
I love her correction of Dumbledore doesn't curse. I love, you ignorant scoundrel, like, it was like she thesaurused it.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of thesaurus replace stuff going on, which I really loved. Like, the more and more I think about this, the more fond I get of the whole thing. As a piece of art, mm-hmm. or satire, or even like trolling or whatever, as a complete package of that, it's masterful and it's frustratingly great.
Yeah.
Like, it's that thing, there's a thing on Friends where he's like, I'm dating someone, Ross is like, I'm dating someone, and she said something last night, which if she was joking is funny, but if she wasn't joking is racist and kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that thing, like, are you joking? Because if you're joking, this is great. If you're not joking, then oh, sweetie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a little bit more.
Let's do it.
For unknown reasons, many people have come forward and claimed themselves to have written or co-written My Immortal. I don't know why it says for unknown reasons. Would you not love to be able to lay claim to this Absolutely. Masterpiece?
Absolutely.
It has often been speculated.
Okay.
That Tara was also the author of notorious bad fic Forbidden Fruit, The Temptation of Edward Cullen.
Right. Stay tuned.
I have a link for it. That's all I'm going to say about it for right now.
Okay.
I do have one more article.
Okay.
I have that Vox article.
Okay.
And bear in mind, all of this stuff with Rose Christo just came about this past fall.
Yeah, I know. That it's like, so recent.
Yeah, super recent. So this article by Aja Romano was written October 9th, 2017.
Okay.
Rose Christo claimed to be a Native American Cree lesbian, and her memoir purportedly discussed her search for her younger brother as a teen after being placed in New York City foster care as a victim of child abuse and child pornography.
Yikes.
Christo claimed that My Immortal's bad writing was intentional, intended to help her infiltrate the fandom community and use its resources to help her find her sibling.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa, wait, hold on. Yeah. I feel like Moss for a sec, but like, wait, hold on. What?
She claimed that the bad writing was intentional and her intent was for it to help her infiltrate the fandom community and use its resources to help her find her brother.
I am so excited for this movie to come out in 2021.
Yeah, right?
This is a movie 100%.
Yeah.
Someone like maybe it's a YouTube Red movie or something, but like, I mean, that seems...
Yeah.
If that's true, whoa!
Christo has not responded to a request to elaborate on this aspect of the memoir.
If it's not true, maybe even more whoa?
Right. Okay. So, back to that Kiwi Farms thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so a Kiwi Farms user claiming to be Christo's brother came forward on September 23rd in the wake of the media blitz surrounding the memoir and the apparent discovery of the My Immortal author's identity. The user who claimed Rose Christo's real name was Teresa Christodopoulos. Christodopoulos.
Yeah.
Christodopoulos. Yes. Right. Okay. Sorry. There's a whole lot of O's and U's in that name.
Yeah.
It's Greek,
yep.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. Was later verified as authentic by forum mods because he identified himself to them via Facebook. However, the meaning of this designation is unclear given the anonymous nature of Kiwi Farms and its reputation, and given how much of Christo's real identity, and by extension, her alleged brother's, has been thrown into question. The user stated that he was never in foster care, that her stories of abuse had been exaggerated, allegedly in order to sell books, and he also claimed that her frequently asserted racial identity as a Native American Cree was also false, and that the family is white. Given the Greek-sounding last name, I would say that they probably... Do not...
Probably are, not are, Native American.
No, she could be Native American, like, on her mother's side.
Sure. Possibly.
But, yeah. Subsequently, Rose Christo issued a series of increasingly impassioned tweets, apparently in direct address to the person claiming to be her brother. Shortly afterwards, she posted on her Tumblr that the book was canceled. So where does this all leave us? Pretty much where we began. In particular, it's unclear how writing a fanfic that became an internet phenomenon was supposed to help her locate her brother, let alone why it would have been necessary if he was never in foster care to begin with. It's also unclear whether her claim that she is a Cree Native American was fabricated intentionally, or whether she created it to appeal to, or possibly even troll, Tumblr's progressive culture.
Huh.
So, lots of people have claimed to have written this. Rose Christo seems to have the most substantiated claim, but yeah, also it has been called into question in a lot of different ways.
Man, that is fascinating.
It is. Like, reading all this stuff, I just kept finding things to print out and highlight because it's just like my brain cannot hold all of this
like
bonkers information.
I wonder if Reply All has done anything on it.
Oh, that podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This feels like their exact type of thing.
Let me do a quick Google.
I'm sort of hoping they haven't.
Does not appear that they have.
Because this feels like an exact type of Reply All thing because it's so internet culture. Like, you couldn't do this before. Like, you could, I guess, but like, it's such a chat room, not anonymity, username, Facebook verification.
Right.
Like, this whole, everything about what we've talked about is so internet.
So this, there, if you go to YouTube.
Yes. Okay. I did never watch these.
Okay. So when Christina initially told us about this, she linked us to a video that was,
which she did in the Facebook group.
She did it in the Facebook group. Yes. It was a video that was the first couple of the first two or three chapters, I think, of My Immortal, but with reader comment, like the creator of the video's comments. So things like as she's describing the outfits that she's wearing, over that text is just scrolling text at the bottom that says, "Nobody cares what Ebony is wearing."
Mm.
It was very funny.
Okay.
There is also, I sent you a link to, and I have not listened to it, but a dramatic reading of this. There is a YouTube web series that only covered like the first maybe 15 chapters.
Okay.
It's along the lines of what we would have made as a drama project.
Okay. That's what I want to see. I want to see them. I want to see.
No, they are acting out.
Yes.
Yes. You should watch it. I have watched some of it and it's really entertaining. So like the scene where Ebony and Draco go into the Forbidden Forest and have sex and he puts his you-know-what in her thingy.
Yeah.
They have a like McDonald's soda cup lid and straw. And like it was really well done. Like,
that's,
you can tell
that
they're filming it. Yeah. Like, it's a couple of teenagers filming it like in and around their neighborhood.
Right.
But it was really
entertaining. Which is exactly the aesthetic that you want.
Yeah, exactly. I'll link to all of that in the Facebook group.
Awesome.
The web series tends to skip over a bunch of the narrative, and it focuses more on the dialogue.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it will do things where she'll look at the camera and go, "Because I'm gothic, get it?"
Oh, I love it.
It's really good.
It's such a beautifully convoluted, stupid plot.
I almost want to take it and rewrite it so that it makes sense, but that would ruin it.
It would ruin it. The plot being poorly written and also poorly written.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when I say rewrite it so it makes sense, I mean taking...
No, I know.
Leave it bad, but make it intelligible, if that makes sense.
Like Marty McFly would still show up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's especially funny to me is that there were parts that I was like, that requires a knowledge of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are references that you have to, it almost approaches tribute to Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. It's another reason why I think that there's no way this wasn't intentional.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's so good.
Hargrid.
Who's inexplicably now a teenager and a student.
And gothic. Okay. All right. Wait, let me,
yeah. We need to wrap up.
Like, I would say go read this. I would also say I would have stopped after chapter 5 if it wasn't for the show. And I would also say that I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
It's a terrain wreck. So pop some popcorn and enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, it's really bad. But if you, like, every time you think, God, this is really bad, walk up another set of meta stairs.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And if you think, well, this is bad even from a satire point of view, another set of meta stairs.
Yep.
Until you're viewing it from the, you know, the stratosphere. And then it looks kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Mostly because of all the black leather corsets.
Right. And ripped fishnets.
And eyeliner.
Shall we move on to social media?
Yes, I think we should. We've already repeatedly mentioned our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Unabashedly Obsessed with Unabashedly Obsessed. I'm going to drop all these links in there. So if you're not a member yet, go join.
Yeah.
And just revel. Also, you can watch the live stream that we recorded a little bit earlier tonight.
It was...
where we flavor tripped.
It was certainly something, yeah. Ooh. We have a Twitter, which is UFO Podcast. You decide what the F stands for. It either stands for...
Fangs.
That was... yep. Uh-huh. And then I thought of flavor tripping, but it's definitely fangs.
Well, no, earlier tonight it stood for flavor tripping.
Right. Right.
Right now it stands for fangs.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Uh-huh.
You da best.
You rock, girl.
So
bad. Like, I don't feel like it came across that I was using the letter U, R-O-K, and G-U-R-R-R-L.
Right. The girl did. Girl okay. Definitely did. Rock, it's hard. Because like that silent C, come on.
And also because rocks are hard.
Right.
Yeah.
I am individually on Twitter at Unabashed James.
I'm at Unabashedly Aaron.
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/unabashedlyobsessed. When you listen to this, it's June.
Ooh, I know what you could do.
Okay.
You could write them a Hot Topic outfit.
Okay. Well, if you join...
like, maybe go on hottopic.com and build them an outfit.
Fine. Will do. So.
And if you don't want to, I will.
David and Diana, look out, because this week, that is my assignment for myself. I'm building you Hot Topic outfits. So if you join in June, if you join when you're hearing this, if you go to patreon.com/unabashedlyobsessed right now, you will be able to join and you get to see the newsletter that Aaron has written.
Yes.
And then if you join at the $5 tier.
By the time this goes out,
yeah, exactly.
Aaron has written it.
It's the Back to the Future 3. The bridge will already be there.
Uh-huh.
And if you join at $5 or more, you get to read our 5 recommendations and be entered into a giveaway to win one of those recommendations.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. Okay, so what else? We have a Cafe Press store.
Yep, you can go buy our cartoon faces on things.
Yeah.
If you want our cartoon faces on things.
Oh, one more thing about Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
I set up a Discord server that I linked to. I'm there. I have a special... there's a general channel in there. And then I also set up a channel called James's Earbuds, which is where I just talk about music that I've been listening to.
Cool.
It's a play
that
on...
That sounded more... I apologize if that came across... sarcastic. I did not intend it to.
I felt it as super supportive. Did you?
No, that was where I was going for. Yeah.
I
did not mean it to sound sarcastic, but I worried that maybe it...
Are you being sarcastic? I don't even know anymore. It's a play on earbuds, like the things go in your ear, but also my ear buddies.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but I am there, so if you want to come over and say hi, I will see it.
Okay. Thank you to Jamie Shaheen for our theme song, Did You Guys Know There Was a Ladder Down Here? You can find Jamie and his band, A Silent Few, on YouTube.
Thank you also to Emily Cardamus for the logo art. You can find her on Twitter at CorruptedGem or on Tumblr at artfulhypothesis.tumblr.com. This has been a totally gothic episode of Unabashedly Obsessed. I'm Demon.
I'm Morticiana.
Smoking kills.
And so do pennies.
Morticiana is a great name.